hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line this morning. And I'm going to suggest that if you have a question, text it to us this morning, 615-893-1450. I was about to give you the wrong number there. 615-893-1450. That's the number that we will receive text on right now. And visiting with us, local attorney John Day is here. And we're going to have an interesting show today. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Good to have you with us today.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let me ask you a question. When people come in and are considering needing a lawyer, people don't know exactly whether the case that they have is, you know, worthy of a lawsuit, and they don't know if it'll even work for them. Do people often wonder, what do I do now? I mean, they have no clue, do they?
Well, most people don't. I mean, the good news is most people, most people who have had experienced a personal injury or a wrongful death of a family member have never been through the process before. They never thought they would have to go through the process, so they haven't spent any particular time making any effort to understand it. So yes, when people are in a situation where they've suffered a personal injury or they've lost a family member, they're interested in what their legal rights are. So we spend a lot of time every single day talking to people about what gave rise to their problem and what their legal rights are under those facts.
So is this something that gets pretty legal, or do different cases? How do you determine whether it's a worthy case?
Well, there's a couple things we do. It's easy for you to imagine this, Bart. Some of your younger listeners will not be able to readily imagine it. But in the old days, in post offices, there's a series of boxes. And from the front, there were usually locked doors on it that had two or three dial where you put in two or three numbers or letters or some combination thereof to access your mail. And in the back, there were all these slots where the postmasters would put the mail for each of the people who came to the post office to pick up their mail. Slots are called pigeonholes. So the law creates a series of pigeonholes. And if your facts fit within a particular pigeonhole, then you have certain legal rights. So give an easy example, in a car wreck, if somebody else violates a traffic law and causes a wreck and causes you an injury, you fit into a particular pigeonhole and your legal rights are spelled out. If your facts are that you tripped and fell in a grocery store, and it was demonstrated to be the grocery store's fault, your legal rights are derived from fitting in that particular pigeonhole. And there's hundreds of different pigeonholes. The law even has a way to make new pigeonholes under certain circumstances, okay? So people come in, and they have usually an idea, particularly if it's a car wreck case or a fall at a grocery store or a shopping center, that they may have some legal rights, because just being around, living in our society, they understand that there are certain obligations put on drivers of car and people who own buildings. But they don't know exactly if the case fits in a pigeonhole, and they don't know what happens if it does. That is, what are their legal rights? So that's what we do. We listen to the facts. We figure out what pigeonhole it needs to fit in. Sometimes we go further and say, yeah, we think we can create a new pigeonhole here. And if you're interested, I could give an example there. And then these are your legal rights under the pigeonhole.
Interesting. Well, we got already a question here from a listener who says, I live in an older neighborhood. And there is a sidewalk out in front of my house. And over the years, the movement, I guess, of the earth has caused it to buckle and crack and things of that sort. If someone falls on that sidewalk, is it me that they will sue, or is it the city, or is it both of us?
Potential is there for both of us. My guess is, well, it's possible it's a sidewalk that's maintained by an HOA. It's possible that the sidewalk may be, the obligation may be on the homeowner. It's possible it could be a city sidewalk. So
now, most of the sidewalks that are on public streets here are city sidewalks. They're not HOAs in the downtown area.
Anyway. In the downtown area, yeah, but this, we don't know if this is in the suburbs.
We don't know where it is.
That is correct. That is correct. And sometimes there are sidewalks in subdivisions that have not yet been turned over to the community. It, for instance, many times the communities will require that a bond be placed for the roads and streets or the sidewalks before they will accept those the streets and the sidewalks. So lots of facts still unknown here. But if I were this homeowner, I would attempt to figure out who has the responsibility to maintain that sidewalk. And I would then, let's assume it's the city, I would write to the appropriate department in the city and say, listen, I have this problem with this sidewalk. I believe it's your responsibility to fix it. Please come out and take a look at it and let's figure out how to get it fixed. And I would do that in writing. I wouldn't do that just with a phone call. I would not do it in a writing that is the equivalent of a fist pounding on the table slamming type of thing, but rather just a polite, you know, I believe this presents a potential hazard. And then I would follow up on that and try to get the dang thing fixed.
Oh, okay. And in following on that same trend of thinking, another person saying that they are driving on streets and sometimes they're resurfacing those roadways and the boxes that are in the middle of the road that cover up different utilities underneath them are sticking up enough that sometimes if your car is really low to the ground, it could scrape the bottom of your car and do some damage. Who is the responsible person there?
Well, most of the street work is done by utility contractors, right? So the city or the county or the state will hire a private company to do that. And what they're doing now, didn't do this 30 years ago, is they scrape the top layer of asphalt or layers of asphalt off. I guess I've seen some boxes, utility boxes in that situation that could do damage to the bottom of the car. Most of the time, it's my left or right front tire that hits it, right? And yeah, with certain cars, it costs you $1,000 to replace a tire and a rim. So there should be warning signs that are put out when that construction is underway. And any sort of box that is unusually elevated such that it would present the risk to the normal vehicle should be flagged in some way. I've seen contractors paint them in orange, for example, or put a cone on them so people can drive around them. So this is another situation where the facts make a whole lot of difference. Was it daytime? Was it dark? Should the car driver avoid it, been able to avoid it? Were there warning signs present? So
those are pigeonholes.
Well, those are facts going to determine what pigeonholes it fits in.
And so the more pigeonholes you have, is that a better case?
Well, most people only have one or two pigeonholes.
Okay.
Because the facts will allow you to fit in one or two pigeonholes. But it is not uncommon for me as a lawyer hearing a story for the first time, just like this, to say, I need a few more facts to figure out how this is going to fit and how strong the case is within that pigeonhole. So this is the classic example.
Okay.
The car gets, the oil pan is sheared off of a car because of an elevated utility box that's on road being repaired. I would want to know, was it daylight or dark? Was there a warning sign that there was construction ahead? Were there streetlights in the area where the driver could have seen it even if it was dark? Was it marked with fluorescent paint or with some sort of cone? Because all of those things impact the who's responsible for what happened. Is it the contractor or is it the driver? So let's take two extreme examples. On the one hand, let's assume that it's dark, that there are no street lights, there were no warning signs. Instead, there's a drop off of the pavement, and within 40 feet on a road going 40 miles an hour, this box shears off the bottom of an oil pan. A lot stronger case against the contractor, whoever was doing the work. On the other hand, let's assume that the construction project was a mile long, that there were signs, that there were street lights, that all the boxes were painted fluorescent owns, and there's a sign near this particular box that says elevated utility boxes. Be careful. Harder case against the contractor, right?
So it just depends on the situation.
It depends on facts. I mean, the law is important, okay? But facts make all the difference in determining what legal rights you have, if any. It's all about facts.
Now, another interesting, and I've seen people doing this one. Here's a person that says, Murfreesboro has a real issue with drain pipes clogging up, and during heavy rains, the roads have standing water in them, some of them quite deep. There are people in the community who enjoy driving through those deep ponds of water at a pretty good speed. And it's fun to watch the spray go. But sometimes that damages the undercarriage of the car. Does their fun take away their insurance, the insurance company fixing the car that was broken?
I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. The insurance companies do not need to pay for people who are engaged in intentional wrongdoing. Okay, so if they damage their car because they're doing something intentionally wrong, take a road rage incident.
Yeah.
If you're driving down the road and you get angry with somebody who cuts you off or honks a horn or gives you a single with one of the digits on your hand that you don't like, and you run into them just to, you know, not maybe spin them out NASCAR style, but send them a little message, your insurance company is not going to protect you because you acted intentionally. Here, driving through water fast, I'd have to know some more details to know whether
the insurance company... somebody would have to see you, I guess.
Yeah, somebody would have to say that they saw you acting like the dang fool and it was intentional as opposed to just negligent. But I will tell you one thing about standing water cases. I did not have this case, but my law partner had this case 30 years ago. I-24 had a huge ponding problem on eastbound, that is toward Chattanooga, but still in the Nashville city limits. And a family, there were six or seven people in the car, hit that ponding water, the car stalled out, and they got hit by a tractor trailer.
Ooh, wow.
And two or three people were killed, and the other ones were badly injured. And the state of Tennessee ended up paying money in that case because they had not been routinely cleaning out the storm gutter system. And they knew there was water ponding in that area in heavy rains. And so there is potential liability for government under those situations if they don't maintain those storm sewer drains.
And I guess a lot of people, particularly a new driver that doesn't have a lot of experience, may not realize that cars... at least they used to not perform as well during wet situations. I think cars are much better now.
Well, yes. we hear people all the time who drown during flood conditions because people think they can drive through 2 feet of water. And the answer is maybe.
And depends on your car.
Tell me in the car about all sorts of other things. But we all see the videos where the cars get picked up and carried downstream. When you hit deep, whatever that means, water at interstate speeds, it's pretty dang easy to lose control. And it's awful hard to tell how deep the water is, particularly at night, particularly if there's no warning signs. The mere fact that you see some water on the road doesn't tell you how deep it is unless you really know the area, et cetera, et cetera. So it's one thing that I hope city, county, and state governments pay attention to when they get reports of ponding water. They need to take a look at the drains in that area and see if they've been cleaned recently.
And if it's on the interstate, you're going at interstate speed. If you see it, you're on it.
At 70 miles an hour, you are going 100 feet per second.
Wow.
For the normal human being, it takes 3/4 of a second to a second and a half to perceive and react to danger. So if you're going down the road at 70 miles an hour and you see some water ahead 100 feet away, most people will not be able to do anything until they hit that water.
Yeah. Here's an interesting one. This one says, I was a teenager when this happened. I guess that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And they said, I was driving down 16th Avenue in Nashville on a rainy day and going down the hill that stopped on Broad. But I almost didn't because it was wet and I did not realize that wet brakes don't work as well as when they are dry. Thank goodness there were no cars coming, and me going out onto Broad before my car stopped didn't mean the end. Whoa, I can just imagine the frightening feeling they went through.
Well, we've all had similar things happen to us, right? Where for whatever reason, we're driving down the interstate and we drift over into another lane and there's a truck, or we're not paying as close of attention as we should have and we blow a stop sign, or it's a really, really, really yellow light and go into halfway into an intersection on a red, and we've avoided disaster, and we're just lucky. So there are lots of circumstances where people make mistakes. They are, quotation marks, negligent, close quotation marks, and there's no harm caused. And hopefully those are learning lessons. No lawsuit, but learning lessons.
Here's a totally different question. This one is from a listener who said their house caught on fire recently, and the inspectors immediately wanted to determine the cause of the fire. I don't know whether they were trying to put the blame on me or someone else, but there weren't many people to put a blame on. Why did they need to know that?
Well, there's two things. First of all, the cause of a fire will help determine whether there's a risk from an appliance or maybe a wiring issue that may be the cause. So there are, from time to time, products that are made that are defective that cause house fires. Let's say it's a refrigerator. I don't know of any problems with refrigerators that cause it, but let's just assume it's a refrigerator. If I think a responsible society wants to know whether one of a million refrigerators that are out there in homes has a problem that may give rise to fires. So it is a public safety function that those investigators perform by saying, let's get to the bottom of this and see if there's a hazard that caused this that may prevent somebody else from losing their house or getting hurt or killed. Second, they're gathering that sort of information helps determine whether codes need to be changed. You know, do we need to have, give me a classic example. This happened in Murfreesboro many years ago. My client was in a rental house. He was working on a carburetor on his motorcycle, and he was using carburetor cleaner, sitting on the ground using carburetor cleaner, and the house blew up.
Wow.
The reason the house blew up is that there was a water heater in the garage, and the water heater was on the floor. It was not 18 inches above the floor. And it was a gas-fired water heater. Carburetor fumes and gasoline fumes are lighter than oxygen, heavier than oxygen, so they tend to move down and hug the floor, and they dissipate across the floor. When they hit the flame on the gas-powered water explosion.
Wow.
It was good for the community to know that, because now the regulations are that your water heater, if it's in a garage, must be at least 18 inches above the floor.
And so that has reduced that problem.
It reduced the problem of explosions with water heaters that are in garages.
Well, we have to know, did the person make it out of the fire?
They did. The house burned completely. The person, my client, was badly burned.
And
it was a fascinating case to work on. A nice young man who's, he was a student here at MTSU at the time. So it was a very interesting matter. So, and the last reason is there are some people who do burn down their own houses, right? And on purpose, not just because
it's quicker than selling in some of their minds.
Yeah, the joke goes, it's a friction fire. It's insurance papers rubbing against the mortgage. But that is also a crime. So society has a reason to understand whether a particular fire loss was related to criminal activity. So that's why that sort of work is done. And nobody should take that personally. It's good that we do that as a society.
Our phone number is 615-893-1450. We're going to pause for just a moment, check on the traffic and weather, and we'll be right back. So if you have some questions, John Day is with us, local attorney. You don't get this chance too often, so give us a shout. 615-893-1450. Send us the text if you don't mind. Texts are much easier to work with. We'll be right back.
He's local. Certified financial planner, Jason Qualls. Financial Coaching Radio. Weekdays at 4 on News Radio WGNS.
Market declines, unemployment, oil prices. Don't let headlines derail your long-term financial strategy. I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Lee Colvin. I'll work with you to help you understand the impact of short-term events and how to be positioned for the long term. We provide the tools for a disciplined approach to investing. Call 615-907-7056 for an opportunity to discuss your situation. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
WGNS is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric, who offers energy saving tips during hot summer months. Install programmable thermostats that automatically adjust temperatures for optimal comfort and energy savings. For more tips, go to mte.com/myenergyplan.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the places I love to eat out the most and still be able to do so and maintain a healthy weight is at Demas's. You can get those options on the menu online at www.demasrestaurants.com. You can make the decisions that you want to make before you come in. We have options ranging from grilled chicken to fish. You can get it with a side of green beans or spinach or even zucchini. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner at Demas's.
Hi, this is Dave Kivenemi at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street in Murfreesboro. We're across from Indian Hills Golf Course. Come out and see us for all of your music needs. We've got guitars, pianos, amps, drums, PA equipment, rentals, lessons, most anything you can think of in the music genre. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den on South Church. We're across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
Good morning. Traffic still running slow, 840 westbound there in Elmaville Road, coming over from Rutherford County towards Williamson County. Give yourself a little bit of extra time. I see a pretty good slowdown. And still a little bit of volume there on 40 west right at Donaldson Pike, coming out of Hermitage there into Donaldson. 65 still running a little bit sluggish southbound as you come down past Trinity Lane. Prince's Hot Chicken has new items on the menu. Check them out today. Order online, as a matter of fact, princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
We'll see sunny skies here for this afternoon with a high in the mid-90s. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 68. Friday, sunshine, high of 98 degrees. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 67.
Hi, this is Ryan with Tire World Laverne, here to serve all your automotive needs in Rutherford County. We welcome all your fleet and commercial accounts, along with all your regular routine maintenance. Tire World, a hometown family business you can trust.
The Wake Up Crew, weekday mornings, 6 to 7:50.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Welcome back. Our phone number again, 615-893-1450. Happy birthday to Ryan Maynard. Ryan is 22 today, and he gets the delicious banana pudding from Slick Pig Barbecue. Ryan Maynard, happy birthday to you. Also, congratulations to Stephanie Folkman. Stephanie is our good neighbor of the day and receives flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Stephanie, they said, is one of the kindest people you know, and even on a cloudy day, she will bring sunshine into your life. Oh, those are great people to have. Our number again, 615-893-1450. That's the number to call this morning. John Day, local attorney, is with us. We're talking about things that can happen to you and what do you need to be doing to prepare for court cases, should you even have a court case on some issues. Or do people often have cases that really create problems and issues throughout their life? And then for one reason or another, they just didn't take the time to check it out, and they're stuck with it.
We see that, I can't say every day, but quite frankly, several times a week, where people call us and it's too late to take legal action. Some people, so in Tennessee, the general rule is, now there's a couple exceptions, but you can work with this general rule. You have 1 year from the date of an incident that causes an injury or later causes death to take legal action. So we have people every single week, as I say, who call us too late. Maybe they move from Florida, where the rule is 4 years.
So it's different every state.
Every state's got a different rule. Tennessee has the shortest time period in the country. Or they'll move from Wisconsin, where it's 3 years, or Minnesota, where it's six, and they're living here, and maybe they had some prior experience with the legal system, and they assume that the law is the same everywhere. But in Tennessee, it's 1 year. And in 1 year, you don't want to wait 364 days. The lawyer has a lot of work to do. Before he or she can actually take the appropriate legal action to protect your rights.
How did we end up with the shortest amount of time of all the states?
I do not know the answer to that. It's been the law for decades and decades and decades. My guess is that you've got to pick a time somewhere. And somebody thought one would be better than two or three. It is, in my opinion, a rather unfortunate law for this reason. Most people, in my experience, and I've been doing this over 40 years now, are not people who want to have anything to do with a lawsuit. Most people think, I am not the suing kind. I don't want to be that person. In fact, I hear that every single day. With respect to almost all those people, they have never been in the situation where they were hurt and had a legal claim to bring. So they never had to consider whether or not they were actually do it. They instead were looking at what other people were doing or what they read they were doing in the news and assume something about the character of those other people. So what people do when they get hurt or a loved one dies and they're grieving that is they assume that if they think it was somebody else's mistake, the at-fault person will just accept responsibility for it. And it's not uncommon for there to be a contact from that at-fault person's insurance company saying, oh, we'll take care of this. That's not legally binding, by the way. We're so sorry this happened. That's not legally binding to anything, okay? Just send us a bunch of paperwork and give us permission to do this and to do that, and we'll talk about how to make this right. And people get lulled into a false sense of security that everything's just going to be taken care of and they don't have to worry about it. And then time passes and there's more and more requests for information. And then all of a sudden, the 1 year clock is ticking its final ticks and people lose their rights.
Now, you were talking about people forget or don't know to get to an attorney quick enough. Let's say they do get to an attorney quick enough and a case is put together, goes to court. I guess we all have seen Bull on TV. How accurate is that? How important is it to have the right jury? Because he picks the jury or helps to decide.
Oh, when you said Bull on TV, I thought you were talking about something else.
Wasn't that the name of the show on TV?
I think there's nothing but Bull on TV. Okay. But apart,
I was thinking that was the name of the he wasn't an attorney. He was
a
doctor
jury consultant.
Or something. Okay.
He was a jury consultant.
Are there
Pardon me, Bart.
Are there real jury consultants out there?
Yes, there are lots of jury consultants.
Tennessee has some.
I've worked with five or six jury consultants in the last 30 years.
So they're not everywhere. I mean, you don't use them that often.
Don't use them in every case because they can be very, very expensive.
Ah.
One group that I worked with in one case, it was $100,000 for 1 week.
They charge per week?
Well, they charge, some charge per hour, some charge per case. Some charge a flat fee where they estimate how many hours they're going to put into it. There's different ways to charge. But this particular consultant was in California, and he you met with him, and he helped you develop the theme of your case and helped you develop what we call demonstrative aids, exhibits, to help communicate your case theme, and he's $100,000 per week.
Wow.
So you cannot do that in the ordinary case.
It would take all the money.
It would take all the money.
And more.
And in the ordinary case, it would take more, yeah, because most cases are not worth $100,000. So, but there are cases that are worth lots and lots of money, and in appropriate cases, lawyers, the best lawyers, will hire those consultants and get that help.
So the secret is finding a lawyer who can realistically evaluate what the case is worth and not overspend it so that there's, I mean, you might get a tremendous award of several million dollars, but if it's all gobbled up in cost, what have you gained?
Yes. I mean, you've got to find a lawyer who has experience and judgment of knowing what to invest and when, and then have the money to do it. I mean, there's, so the way lawyers like me work, and this is the entire industry, right? All lawyers who represent people in personal injury and wrongful death cases work on what's called a contingent fee. We only get paid if we win. And in addition to that, most of us pay the expenses associated with the case, or so cost of getting medical records, the cost of paying for court reporters to transcribe written statements called depositions, the cost of experts, the cost of consultants. Some lawyers do not pay that money out of their pocket. They have financial relationships with banks who loan them the money at interest and fees, and then they charge that to the client. So one thing people need to look at is, does their lawyer have the money, or are they willing to spend their own money on a case to make it the best case it can be, or are they financing all that and putting that cost on you, the client?
How do you, as a client, know that? How do you know what questions to ask?
It will be in the fee agreement. And the fee agreement that the client signs with the lawyer will say how expenses are handled. Our fee agreement says that our law firm will advance the expenses, and if the case is successful, we will bill those expenses back. But we do not charge interest. We do not charge fees, and if, heaven forbid, we happen to lose, we don't charge the client the expenses. We eat the expenses. But other law firms will charge 10, 12, 14% interest plus other fees on those expenses. And it makes a big difference. I mean, it makes a material difference. And then there are other lawyers who just don't have the money and can't get access to the money to invest an appropriate amount of money in the case. That's not their fault. You know, they tend to be younger lawyers who don't have access to that capital. And if you don't have a lawyer who can afford those expenses, that's going to affect the way your case is presented. I don't mind telling you, we've got right around $600,000 invested in cases. I'm not talking about secretary time and lawyer time. I'm talking about money out of my pocket that I've invested in various cases. I've had a little bit more. I've had a little bit less, but it runs around $600,000. And I don't charge interest to people to use that money.
So that is what people would benefit from, having an attorney like that. But if you don't ask the right questions and don't get the answers, you could have a surprise at the end.
Well, or if you don't understand the fee agreement, and you don't understand.
I mean, it's sort of like we tell people, shop around for your doctors. Don't just get any doctor. Yeah. Shop around for lawyers, yeah, too.
Well, that's true. I mean, and it's one reason why we have shows like this, right? People can learn a little bit,
sure,
and go on,
right,
the internet and see that it makes, that there are choices, and that choices have consequences, financial and otherwise. And this expense thing is important to me, because it's not unethical to charge interest. There's nothing illegal about it. The way I was raised by my mentor, and the way our firm practices law, is we front those expenses. If we don't have enough confidence in the case that we're not willing to put our own money into it, we don't do it.
Some great information you're getting here, and we have some more questions. We will be back and touch on those for the final segment. Stay with us.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450, online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Please come and see us for all your gardening, home, and farm needs. We have a great selection of clothing, farm items, and also our wonderful gift department. Please come see us for all your gift items. And we also have local honey. And if you're interested in being a beekeeper, we do have supplies for that. We have from hives to suits to whatever you need to take care of those bees. We're located at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
Capstar is now a division of Old National Bank. You'll notice some changes as we complete the transition to Old National Bank. The Murphy Spread team that you know and trust at Capstar are always ready to serve you. We'll temporarily use Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, until the transition's complete. As always, we're ready to serve you at Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, member FDIC.
Talk with the police chief, the mayor, and other local leaders about issues that concern you.
The Action Line with Bart Walker, weekdays at 8:10 on WGNS.
Welcome back. John Day, local attorney, is our guest this morning. We're in the final segment, so if you have a question that you would like for him to consider, give us a shout quickly. Text it to us, 615-893-1450. Here's a person with a question. This is a medical issue, and they feel that they've been given the wrong medications. And other people have said to them, I think you're getting some bad side effects on those medications, and it's creating some medical issues that they did not have. What should they do?
Well, they should consult a lawyer, which isn't going to cost anything. I mean, they can...
And I think that's where people need to know that.
Yeah, isn't it amazing that for 35, 40 years, there's advertising on television with lawyers saying, call us for a free consultation, and people still worry about what it's going to cost.
I think people never believe free.
Yeah. And there's good reason why people are suspicious of the word free. But let me say this about that. We offer free consultations.
And they are free.
They are free, capital F, capital R, capital E, capital E. And so we would be happy to take that telephone call and get those basic facts and determine if we could help. But here's a classic example of where that 1 year can be important. When do those medications, when were they given? When did the side effects first appear? When did the patient discover or reasonably should have discovered that the side effects were linked to the medication? That all impacts when the 1 year starts.
Oh, so okay. They could be up the creek
if all that's, it's been going on for 3 years and they've known that it was medication related. They were just trying to hope that it would get over with or they'd get used to it. It would be too late. So I'm not saying the first time you get an upset stomach after you take a medication, you should call a lawyer. The first thing you should do is talk to your doctor. Is this a side effect that I should be experiencing? Does it mean that I need to maybe switch medicine, or is this something that I will get used to? And just have a conversation first. At some point, it would not be inappropriate to talk to a lawyer to just see if he or she can help. And it's not going to cost anything.
Here's an interesting one. This listener says they've heard you on many times and they've enjoyed you talking about these large trucks that are on the roadway. Now they're hearing so much more about the big electric trucks that are on the road. They're taking over groups of trucking companies and putting electrical trucks to pull the trailers. Is that creating a bigger problem, or is it a smaller problem? Because I'm guessing those trucks are not quite as heavy. I don't know. Are they as heavy?
You know, I don't know the answer to that, but I'm going to guess they are as heavy. They may be heavier because batteries are heavy. Now, the engine is going to be lighter. And diesel fuel weighs, what, nine pounds a gallon. I haven't compared the weight between the two vehicles, but I can say this, batteries are heavy, especially when you got a battery that's got to be able to carry 70,000 plus pounds of load, right?
And batteries, I remember hearing about this. They don't like them in apartment complexes because batteries create fires, and the fires that batteries create are harder to put out than a house fire. So would a fire be more likely to erupt from a truck from a battery-operated truck?
There is, I would think so, to the extent that they're lithium batteries, right? They're, and I must confess, I don't know enough about the batteries in electric trucks. There's not that many of them out there yet, and we haven't had a single case involving one to date. But it is true. I know this much about it. Battery fires are different to put out than a fire of a home of a wooden structure, just like a grease fire is different than a fire of wood, right? So you need a different tool to fight that fire. And I'm confident that the fire departments are trying to figure out how they change their equipment to be able to confront those hazards as they arise.
So we have just a few minutes left in the broadcast. Let's see if we can't put this all together into a neat package that somebody can tuck away in their brain and have it ready to reach over and grab should it ever be needed.
Well, the number one takeaways from this morning are these. Number one, free does mean free. Free consultation means that you can talk to a personal injury lawyer. Not only this one, you can talk to a personal injury law firm and they're not going to charge you anything. That doesn't mean they're going to accept your case at no charge. That means they can talk, that you could talk to them. They're not going to take your credit card or send you a bill, and they will let you know whether or not they'll be able to investigate or go further. So don't hesitate to call a lawyer to determine whether or not they can help you because you're worried about what it might cost. Number two, be aware of time deadlines for legal action. It's fair to work under the general assumption that you have 1 year from the date of an incident that causes injury to take legal action. It is a mistake to wait that long. Quite frankly, in my opinion, although this may be self-serving, the sooner the better that you talk with a lawyer and understand what your legal rights are. Even if you've got a case, that doesn't mean you have to hire that lawyer or have to file a lawsuit immediately, but you need to understand what your rights are and remember it's free. Those are the main takeaways, I think, from this morning.
And remember, it's free.
And it's remember, free. It's free. Yeah.
Don't forget, it's free. So nobody can say, and he really means that, too, and it's all the other lawyers mean it also.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the service that the legal community who does personal injury and wrongful death work offers to the community.
John Day, local attorney with us this morning from the law firm of John Day. Thank you again for sharing your knowledge.
Thank you, Bart.
Have a super rest of the day. Stay with us. Much more to come right here on your Good Neighbor Station. Our temperature right now is up to 75 degrees. Still comfortable. High today is going to be up about 92. We'll be following that temperature and the weather for you throughout the day right here.